The Money Show. Personal finance.
I'm going to break some confidences here. Should I break confidences? Should I destroy a relationship? Yeah, why not? Warren Ingram, personal financial advisor and executive director at Galileo Capital. Now, when we started talking about personal finance a long time ago, Warren Ingram, you were very anti-property ownership. You told me something about something called the Herengracht Index or the Herengracht Phenomenon or the Herengracht Lesson as a basis for your reasoning as to why you should never own a house. Remind me.
Yeah, so that's not breaking confidences. That's
I'm going towards breaking the confidences. It's fine.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm now getting nervous. So it is called the Herengracht Property Location Index, and nothing to do with the Herengracht district in Cape Town, but based on a specific area in the Netherlands. Which hasn't changed at all over a 400-500 year period, where it's always been a prime residential property. The houses are actually literally exactly the same as they were on the outside 400-500 years ago. They've been modernized, but they've always been a prime area. And why that property location index is so interesting is because it shows you exactly how house prices have moved over a long period of time. And historically, they move at about 0.5% a year above inflation as a good average over many, many years. And in fact, if I look at America, very similar. If you go from the year 1890, which is as far back as I could find, to now, house prices also generally move at maybe 0.5% to 1% a year above inflation. So typically for people who say to me, you know, buying a home is a great investment, I would to this day say, no, it's not a great investment. It might be a great lifestyle choice. And I'm trying to preempt you because I don't know how you're going to sink me.
That's not serious.
It's also,
very soon after that,
way to make your family happy.
No, absolutely. But very soon after that, you went and bought a house. And then not long after that, you went, stuff it. Quite nice owning a house. You could do what you like to it. Let's get another one. And you went and got another one. But this is the important thing. This is the lifestyle choices versus investment choices. And this is the important bit. We were led to believe that houses were great investments in, say, the early 2000s. Interest rates were low. Property prices had been under pressure. There was this dramatic re-rating in property prices. And suddenly you could get quite rich out of doing up and flipping properties. There was a period of time in which you could do that. And that was an awesome time. Lots of people got on that particular bandwagon. But we forgot that the Herengracht Index taught us that over periods of time, hundreds of years in case of the Herengracht Index, everything reverts to the norm. And I think what we've seen in the last 12, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years even, with great political uncertainty and economic uncertainty and policy uncertainty in South Africa, that house prices sort of hit a level and then went into negative territory and have been falling ever since. Signs of life now, perhaps, but we then sort of had the law of averages kicking in.
Exactly, and that's what's interesting to me now is we're in an environment where I haven't had a house buying conversation with anybody for quite some time, where people have been saying to me, I'm really keen to buy a property, and you know, I think the market's offering me great opportunities, and that's been almost all the way through South Africa. There have been maybe two pockets that have held their value quite well, and I think, you know, that's kind of parts of the Western Cape, and then parts of north of Durban, you know, sort of that Lito area, and those two have done well. But for the rest, I mean, Johannesburg, you know, especially the higher end of the market's been absolutely hammered, and then the rest of the country has followed suit. But interesting for me to note in the last sort of probably 4 or 5 months, somewhere around there, and it's definitely an overlap with this whole lockdown time, that people are starting to say to me, you know what, I've put in an offer on a place down in Plett, or I've put in an offer on a house in Joburg, or you know, someone who's been renting quite happily, suddenly saying, actually, I'm going to buy. And so there is definitely an element of the South African market that's starting to become interested in residential property again.
And what is, I mean, so valuations are tempting. It's very expensive and hazardous and costly, and you don't get what you want when you build or renovate. So if somebody else has done all the hard work for you and property prices are depressed relative to where they've come from, you buy something that's done and ready at a price that is, you know, in real terms, probably cheaper than it was 3 or 4 or 5 years ago at interest rates, which are sitting at lifetime lows.
And I think that, I think we've got a couple of keys here. So for me, the one is, you know, if interest rates are at 50 or 60 year lows, I can't remember exactly what it is, then that is a really positive push for all property, but especially, I guess, the residential property. So I think that interest rate tailwind for residential property is material. It's something we need to know is going to be a factor in changing people's minds around property. I think the second thing is that you know, people who've been renting for a long time, you know, to live in the place that they were renting might have been unaffordable when interest rates were 3 or 4% higher than they are now, and all of a sudden for them they're looking at you know, they're doing the online mortgage calculators and saying to themselves, gee, actually it's that dynamic has changed. It might actually be cheaper for me with them, even though it's a mortgage and I might have to pay some levies on top of that. It might actually be cheaper for me to own the apartment I'm living in rather than rent. And that's quite a nice change in the dynamic of the property market in South Africa. And then I think the other factor is lockdown. You know, I think globally, I was very skeptical of listening to, you know, people prognosticating about the future and how the world's going to change, you know, post COVID and post the lockdown environment. But I have to say that certainly one of the trends that I think is starting very early is, you know, people who are stuck in, you know, 1 or 2 bedroom apartments and have been in there for, you know, 5, 6 months now, and getting, you know, a very real sense of cabin fever and looking at saying to themselves, well, you know, I mean, if I'm going to continue working from home, you know, I can't do it from my bedroom. I need to have a little bit of an office space, or, you know, much tougher position for parents where they're forced to school children from home and work from home, and everyone's sharing, you know, the coffee table or the dining room table, and all working from one space. So the need to find space in a home has grown again. And then I think, you know, potentially, I think it's too early to call it as a trend yet, but potentially the work from anywhere phenomenon might be taking effect as well, where people are saying, I don't actually have to come to the office every day. And so I'm going to move further out, and maybe my commute to the office, which might now be one day a week, is going to be longer, but I can get cheaper places or more value for money at least. And so I think that's another big trend that's pushing people to property. The one caveat, of course, is that those are the people that are lucky enough to retain jobs and also lucky enough to look forward and say, there's a decent chance that I probably will have a job in the near future.
I think it was John Luce at APSA. There was a piece of research the other day just saying that, you know, mortgage demand is increasing. We are seeing applications rise. Whether banks are making money available or not depends on the quality, of course, of the application and what the buyer wants to do with that money. Just give us a sense of it, please, just on what we need to look out for when we do buy a property, because there are so many costs associated with buying property. And that's always been your concern about people who buy property as investment, because you have to earn an awfully good return annually on a property in order for it even to break even over a period of time. Going in, you have to pay huge amounts of transfer duties. Going out, you end up having to pay huge amounts of money to an estate agent to find a buyer for you and to sell it for you. And if you have made some decent money, you end up paying capital gains tax on the money you've made. And invariably, when you move into the house, you know, half the doors will fall off, the roof will leak, and you'll have big repair bills for long periods of time as well in many, many properties. There are expensive things to buy, own, and maintain.
Exactly, and I think that would be my key message in a situation that we're in now is, you know, if you're one of those, let's say, first-time home buyers, just know that you need a serious emergency fund going into that, because you know, I see that the banks are offering good credit quality first-time buyers 100% bonds, which is great, But that doesn't help, for example, as you move in and as you point out that you suddenly need to repaint the place, or the geyser bursts and you're not going to be covered by all of the costs won't be covered by insurance, and then you need new curtains and the like. So there are a lot of costs that are almost implicit or hidden that just catch people unawares as they go in. And secondly, your more explicit costs, like you mentioned, you're going to have to pay attorneys for the bond registration and the like, and transfer fees potentially, and as you say, then estate agents' fees as well. But there are always going to be maintenance costs. And for example, if you buy in an apartment block, or a little cluster house somewhere, just know that the likelihood that everyone around you is able to pay their levies to the body corporate or the homeowners association is also compromised. And it's one of the things that a lot of first-time buyers get caught out on is they get in there, they've done their sums, they've just got enough money to pay for the insurances, which they now need to pay for. They've got enough money to pay the levies and the property taxes and then the mortgage. And then all of a sudden, the homeowners association says, look, unfortunately, the apartment block hasn't been painted in the last 8 years, and we need to raise a special levy, and the levies are going to double for the next 5 years. And it's that kind of thing which will catch people off guard. Or, the homeowners association is really in financial trouble, and then all of a sudden you've got no maintenance of the outside of the property. So those are big issues. And then I think the second one is don't plan that interest rates are going to stay at these levels for the next two decades while you've got a mortgage. The likelihood is that if you listen to our Reserve Bank time and time again, they are incredibly concerned about inflation, and so although inflation is under control now, that's not necessarily the case in 5 years' time. So I would expect that if you're doing your online mortgage calculators, just work out what happens if interest rates in 3 years' time go up by 2 or 3%. And I know that's quite a big jump, but always plan for that.
Anything is possible, though. I mean, our history teaches us that interest rates, can be sucker punched by interest rates so easily. And then the next question that's going to say, Warren, because I'm going to get 12 emails about this in the next half hour, should I fix my mortgage?
I'm
interested in your view on this.
No, I don't like fixing mortgages. I think if the banks played fairly with us, like they do overseas, where they offer us the option of fixing mortgages for long periods of time, so let's say 10 years, that would be more interesting to me. But typically what happens is that the periods are much shorter than that, so it's often 2, 3, maybe 5 years. And the rate that they'll offer you now is going to be higher than what you can get today. And when I've done those sums, by the time interest rates do go up, where you might start to make money out of having fixed your rate at a higher level than when you started, your 3 or 5 year period is over, and you've actually lost out anyway. So I don't like the idea of fixing mortgages. I haven't seen a bank offer a fair deal on that ever in South Africa. But that's just me. I could have missed one or two.
I have the same view as you, and I was curious to hear whether or not I was, upping my knowledge quotient. And as you are the qualified, certified financial advisor, I'm feeling quite smug and a bit smart, because that would have been my answer. Personal financial advisor, executive director at Galileo Capital, Warren Ingram, on a Thursday, talking property.